The Guardian.
This Guardian podcast was made possible by Squarespace, the all-in-one website maker with Cover Pages, a new feature that expresses your ideas with a bold single-page website. Try it at squarespace.com and use the offer Guardian to get 10% off.
Hello and welcome to today's podcast from the Guardian film team. My name's Benjamin Lee and it's Friday, November 6th, and joining me today is Catherine Shord. Now Catherine, post-Bonfire Night, what is your all-time favourite movie fire?
My all-time favourite movie fire? I'm so glad we don't rehearse this, friends. wouldn't it have been helpful to know that in advance. What is my all-time favourite? I suppose you'd have to sort of say Wicker Man, because it is a jolly good blaze.
It's a great blaze.
If you're looking for sheer heat, but it is obviously upsetting because of the materials involved.
I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry to upset you in the morning. All of Backdraft. moving on. So most of the year's major Oscar contenders have already been seen at this stage, but last night saw the premiere of one of the remaining big hitters, or question marks, really. Angelina Jolie's third film as a director, By the Sea, stars herself and husband Brad Pitt as a couple, hoping a holiday might save their crumbling marriage. It's been pushed as, and I quote this from the press notes, a film inspired by European cinema and theatre of the 1960s and 1970s.
That's specific yet broad.
Yeah, exactly. After Unbroken, which received a lot of flack last year, including from you, Catherine, it's an important... You didn't like it.
No, but it wasn't just me.
No, I say including you. There's crowds.
Did you like it?
I didn't see it.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
So I've got a lot to add on that. So this is kind of an important film for Jolie, really, because she also wrote it too. And it's sort of showing her worth as a filmmaker. And people have seen it, and the word isn't that great. It's apparently quite slow and quite stagey and vain. One of my favourite post-screening tweets is from a guy called Jesse Ryan Knight, who came up with some alternate names for the film, such as Limp Major, The Tickle Fight of the Roses, Who's Bored of Virginia Woolf, and Revolutionary Cul-de-Sac, which I liked. The review in The Wrap calls it a soporific drama that teaches on parody, and The Hollywood Reporter called it the kind of vanity project you don't see much of anymore. Do you think she's kind of bitten off more than she can chew again, as have I, with that statement?
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame, isn't it? And you can sort of see, reading the reviews, you sort of see why it might have been an interesting movie. I mean, it was interesting the other day in those interviews that Brad and Ange gave together, he was praising her total lack of vanity in terms of her very upsetting and traumatic treatment, which is obviously great and admirable, and, thank God she had no vanity. But that's exactly what this project has been accused of, not just in its concept as a vanity project, but in its execution. And they've said, that she's playing this very sort of depressed wife who just smokes on the balcony and goes to bed all the time, but not in a sexy way. And yet she's fully made up at all moments. And that's actually distracting, which is interesting. I mean, it's not often that is sort of consistently picked up in reviews as a problem. It's a shame for her. I mean, I kind of admire her. I think she's sort of formidable and interesting, but this does sound misguided and appalling.
Like you're saying, the vanity is kind of odd for her, because her first film was this sort of Bosnian war drama, and she doesn't seem like someone who does interviews to talk about what she's wearing. You know, she's very much talking about bigger issues, and she has all these other responsibilities when it comes to charity. So it's kind of surprising that you still see her in this kind of film, which apparently the actual content of the film is about a couple falling apart. So it's kind of a mopey film, but the fact that she's still glammed up all the time, it's surprising from her.
Yeah, I mean, I think the decision to go more into directing is a good one for her, and she's clearly a sort of strong person who manages to juggle a career, goodness knows how many children, a huge amount of humanitarian work. And I mean, what was good about Unbroken was the force of conviction that lay behind it. She was obviously incredibly impressed with Zamperini and his sort of right-wing, Christian sort of self-belief, tough as hard, old boots, survivalist agenda. And if she can sort of, if she ran with that a bit more and wasn't sort of flattered into thinking endlessly that she was this sort of drop-dead movie star, because she's not a fantastic actress. She just isn't, I'm afraid.
I think it can be brought out of her. I think she was great in Changeling and The Mighty Heart. I just think she needs to maybe step away from directing for a bit, perhaps, and kind of get behind a really great director and a great script that isn't just an action film. I think there's still more in her. Yeah. She'll be pleased to hear me tell her that. But I think there's still more that can be done. But
I mean, you know, projects like Cleopatra, which is the thing she's been attached to for years, it's like, oh no, just
not
please
that kind of,
don't. Yeah, just don't bother. I mean, she is turning into Liz Taylor, which is probably not a good look.
Now, Catherine, there's been a leak.
Oh, where?
No, not a real leak. A leak of information in Hollywood.
I got so confused.
I could see you looking around for some dripping.
No, I thought, you've got a leak. As in you've got like a leak in your flat. And I cooked leaks last night, but they went very badly.
Leaks everywhere. This leak's information. The salaries for the cast of the Avengers sequel have found their way online. And even though it hasn't actually been 100% verified yet, it's an interesting set of numbers if they are actually true. So first of all, we all know that Robert Downey Jr. is kind of in the lead. He made $40 million off the last Avengers film. And behind him, Scarlett Johansson with $20 million. Chris Evans with $6.9 million. Jeremy Renner next with $6.1 million. Then Chris Hemsworth with $5.4 million. And finally, Mark Ruffalo with $2.8 million. Now, these numbers are quite surprising.
Well, I'm surprised Mark Ruffalo was so low. That's a bit sort of dismaying.
It's a shame because he's probably the best actor out of the bunch, but he hasn't really got much of a box office history,
I guess, of making
big movies. But it's kind of a good boost, perhaps, to the equal pay debate that's been going on because Scarlett Johansson is, you know, surprisingly kind of paid more than the men. Not that she shouldn't be, but given the leaks we've had before from American Hustle, usually kind of they don't work out so great for the female,
yeah,
for the female
actor. There's a huge disparity between not just Danny Jr. and ScarJo, but then ScarJo and then the boys. I mean, that's a massive gap. I'm surprised because she wasn't even in this most recent one much. And although I'm not really a big Renner fan, in fact, Hawkeye was quite prominent in it, wasn't he? I mean, he played quite a big role. So although one might think, good God, how has Renner come so far, given his questionable assets, you know, and as particularly in terms of the Hustle thing, that they managed to negotiate for him a bigger percentage than Jennifer Lawrence. I don't know. I mean, in Avengers, he's kind of central, isn't he?
He must have a great agent because, I mean, he was on more than Amy Adams, apparently, when American Hustle, or at least he got more percentage points. And, you know, Jeremy Renner's box office appeal only really kind of exists in franchises. Even Born Legacy didn't do that well when it's kind of based on him.
And yet, I mean, I've always been a bit intrigued by the cult of Renner and why there would be a cult of Renner, because he just seems like your average bloke to me, but slightly less interesting. But then when you look him up online, there is a lot, isn't there? We've found a lot of sort of memes and sites that are quite keen on him.
But I feel kind of bad for him because he made his own Bourne film and they kind of said, probably bring Matt Damon back for the next one, if that's okay, Jeremy. And then, same Mission Impossible. Yeah, it's all right, Jeremy, sorry. And then Mission Impossible, apparently the idea was to have him take over the franchise, but Tom Cruise was like, actually, Jeremy, do you mind if I just step back in there? But like, I feel like he's always about to get his own.
Maybe he'll do something brilliant. I can't really see. I know that reaction has been mixed to our career clinic features, but I'd be kind of interested to do him because what is sort of, it's going surprisingly well for him.
Yeah.
And yet, what is going to be the role that really makes him? What are we going to remember him for?
He still, I mean, he had Hurt Locker, I guess, which got an Oscar nomination, so maybe we could look back.
Okay.
And so always look back. Catherine, it's Friday.
No.
There are films released on Fridays.
No.
Yeah, true.
No.
What do you think people should watch this weekend?
I haven't seen them all. I know you've seen Brooklyn and are a bit fishy on it. Is fishy on it?
I'm very fishy on
Getting
Brooklyn.
Fishy on it. But there's Burnt. I saw Burnt with you. And that was sort of less fun than I was hoping it. I was hoping it would be appalling. But I suppose if you're kind of drunk, you know, that would be the film to see.
Do you think it would improve your drunkenness? Do you think you'd feel more drunk on, on food?
It was the other way around, I was thinking more.
It would sober you up?
I suppose so, yeah. It's the ultimate coffee. I mean, Burnt is sort of interesting as a botched experiment. Because it was, you know, back in Cannes, the Weinstein Company put it on as part of their slate of big hitters, you know, things to watch like Hateful Ace and Southpaw. But and it really hasn't sort of... Back then it was known as Adam Jones, and before then it was Chef, and now it's Burnt. And it's really not worked out, which is a shame.
They sort of lost their touch a bit, the Weinsteins, haven't they, when it comes to what they used to be so really good at, which is getting Oscar nominations? Because this year, Southpaw is similar to Burnt in that it's this star project, which feels like it's from 10 years ago, that I don't really see what the point of it.
Interesting times for the Weinsteins, because not only are the Oscar nominations not rolling in, the box office isn't either. I mean, Southpaw didn't do particularly
well. It was solid,
right.
Yeah. But
Burnt has really flopped, and I can't see it doing very well over here or ever picking up traction, really. I mean, they must be banking hard on The Hateful Eight, and I wonder to what extent they're worried about this Tarantino thing.
I don't know how much that will really affect the average person going to see a Tarantino film.
I don't know. I mean, you know, solidarity with cops in the States is quite strong, isn't it? I mean, if cops really, really came out and said, "This little bastard, we really don't want you seeing his film."
We have Fox News, who are kind of launching a campaign against Tarantino now and trying to stop them. They have quite a big following in the States.
It might knock it. I mean, given the Weinstein's fortunes at the moment, you think they would? That's not ideal for them.
Well, I was surprised yesterday. I checked. Django made $425 million worldwide, which is a massive amount for a Tarantino film. So they're going to be hoping that this one does, I guess, equally well.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly the same sort of positioning, isn't it? The Christmas launch and the sort of big thing. But, I mean, yeah, it's a no. Interesting.
So we're coming to the end of our podcast today. Don't forget to check out theguardian.com/film today for all the latest film news and features, and follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. On the site today, you can check out our review of Angelina Jolie's marital drama By the Sea, as well as the first trailer for Warcraft and Peter Bradshaw on why you should be watching the 70th anniversary reissue of Brief Encounter this weekend. That's all from us this week. But to quote Uma Thurman in Burnt, I say to myself, Simone, you're a lesbian. Why did you have sex with Adam Jones?
For more great downloads, go to theguardian.com/audio.